Great news. Well, let's pray as we prepare to study the scriptures for a few minutes. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. Well, I have been exploring the faces of God and thinking a lot about how God shows different faces to us, and thinking also about how God was showing his face to Abraham during this week's Parsha. He revealed different aspects of his being to Abraham, but the name of the Parsha itself is fascinating. It's Vayera, which means, and he appeared. And some of the traditional Jewish translations say God personally appeared, just to make it really clear. And so it says in verse 1 of Genesis 18 that it was Hashem, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, who appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre. And the passage is really difficult for a lot of interpreters. In fact, Nechama Leibowitz, who is a noted Israeli teacher, she went so far as to say this: all our commentators have been puzzled by this opening verse, especially in view of what follows. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and three men appeared. And so the difficulty is created by verse 1, which says that Hashem physically appeared to Abraham, and verse 2, which says that the visitors were three men. And that reminds me of this basic understanding of three different faces that God has. One, the face of God who's eternal, who's outside of heaven and earth and exists apart from his creation. And the second is the face of God who is also eternal, but he's invisible as spirit, but he moves upon the earth like the wind or like life-giving breath, and we don't see him directly, but we see his effects. And the third face of God is when he's present here in time and space, in our universe, in our world, and he reveals himself at a particular place to a particular person and then takes on a physical form. And that third face is what is being described here, in a sense, because it says that he appeared by the oaks of Mamre. And in many other places where God speaks to Abraham or to one of the patriarchs or to one of the prophets and does not physically appear, it makes it really clear. It says the Lord spoke from heaven, or the Lord sent a messenger or an angel or something like this. But in this case, we see the third face of God, and I like to think of these three faces as the faces of God as Abba, or Father, the one who's eternal and outside of creation, and the face of God as Ruach, Spirit, who moves invisibly on the face of the earth. Think of that being another face of God, and the face of God as Yeshua, Savior and Messiah, Son of Man and Son of God. Three faces, but one God. It's really important to get this. And this has confounded many rabbinic interpreters, and we don't have time tonight to survey all of the confusing interpretations about this. But just to give you a hint, some say he didn't really appear. It was the Shekhinah, the Spirit of God, who was hovering above Abraham, but he didn't appear. Others say that this verse doesn't belong in this chapter. It belongs in the previous chapter. And that this is the things about the three visitors have nothing to do with the appearance of God. Don't get them confused. Three angels, they look like men. They weren't really men. They were in the guise of men. They didn't really eat. It just looked like they were eating. You know, I don't know. If you're as hospitable as Abraham is and you're serving food, and the food just stays there, I think you'd make a comment, guys, you got to eat. And if they're pretending to eat, but none of the food disappears, I don't think it works, but it says they ate. I think it's true. Well, Robert Alter is an interesting translator of the Torah and also a commentator, and he says the difficulty in this text is resolved in verses 13 through 15, which makes it absolutely clear that one of the three is God himself, and that the other two are angels in human form. And so he says that's what the text says, and now we're left to deal with it. Well, there's a problem, of course, if the text says that, because it undermines some other thinking of modern Jews who would say that God can't appear, he can't take on physical form, he has no ability to do it. In other words, we've now found the one thing that's impossible for God. And you know, whenever you don't believe something, when evidence comes to you that is contradictory to your belief, you know what most people do? They reject the evidence. Well, I personally think that the simplest explanation is the best one here, that on this occasion, God and the angels with him all appeared in human forms, and that the Torah is trying to express something sublime. It's a mystery indeed that those who dwell in the realm of eternity, who dwell in heaven, are able to be physically present on the earth. And by the presence of God on the earth, it doesn't mean he ceased to be God of the whole universe or God of heaven. It doesn't mean that he was no longer in heaven, because God is capable of being everywhere that he wants to be at the same time. But in this case, when God drew so close and when he was engaging in covenantal business, it's important to keep that in mind. He took on human form. And I want you to think about the timing of all of this. The previous chapter tells us that Abraham not only had circumcised his son, and not only had circumcised his servants who were following his God, but he himself was circumcised. And so he's an old man, and he's just been circumcised. It's around the time when we're told it's the most painful after circumcision, and that's when God appears. And there's a lesson to be learned, several lessons. One basic lesson is it's good to visit the sick. God gives us an example of visiting those who are infirmed, if you will. It's not a disease or that kind of sickness. It's just that, his body, Abraham's body, is suffering, and God appears to him. But it reminds me of something else, that this is a revelation of God's fatherly love, because it's like a father who's looking after his son and is present with him when he recovers from Brit Milah. Some of you dads can identify with this. When your sons were circumcised, you wanted to hold them and be close to them. And if they had any pain, you just wanted to hold them close. And I think as Abraham is recovering, God is with him. It's important to pay attention to that, because there's a theme of fatherhood through this whole portion. And at this moment, God is ready to impart fatherhood to Abraham, not just any kind of fatherhood, but covenantal fatherhood. And God is wanting to take his own fatherly love and put it more deeply into Abraham's heart. One of the ways that God imparts character into us is by being with us. And when we experience his nature, his attributes, his goodness, his different qualities, we aspire to the same things. We want them. Have you ever suffered and God came and comforted you? And that caused you to understand that you could then comfort other people who were suffering. How many of you have suffered and God himself visited you in some way that brought comfort to you? And it increases our ability to minister to other people. The way that God ministers to us enables us to minister to other people. It's also interesting that God is bringing good news to Abraham and Sarah, that their covenant son, Isaac, is going to be born. And he doesn't just send a message, and he doesn't just send a messenger, and he doesn't just announce from heaven that this is about to happen. He comes down himself. He brings the good news himself. And this gives us some ability to understand what it meant for God to send His Son, to come as Yeshua to us, bringing the good news, being good news and bringing good news. So this Brit Milah, this circumcision, this visitation by Hashem are marking a new beginning for Abraham. It's as if the Lord is saying to Abraham, Yiyeh Beseder. That was one of our Hebrew words for the week. Can you say that? Yiyeh Beseder. It means it'll be okay. It's all right. Or you could say, everything is going to be fine. Well, you might be in a situation where you need to hear this, Yiyeh Beseder. It'll be okay. Abraham waited a long time. He didn't do everything perfectly. How many of you can identify with that? That during times of waiting, we don't do things perfectly, do we? We hope in God, we trust in God, but we don't always act perfectly. We have regrets, we have apologies, there are things we wish we'd done or not done. Abraham didn't do everything perfectly, but still he was living by faith in God. You know, sometimes it takes a long time to work out. Some things take a long time to work out. When you learn that God does not hurry, even though you pray hurry to God, you learn patience. Maybe you've been in a situation in recent weeks or months where you were finished with something, but the something wasn't finished. You already wanted this thing behind you or this new thing accomplished, and yet it wasn't time. Can anybody identify with that? You know, it's just so typical of our experience. It reminds me of one of my favorite verses from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. The Lord has made everything beautiful in its time. I like that. But I don't like the corollary to it. Some things are ugly before their time. Well, this is a new beginning for Abraham, and he's becoming the father of faith for everyone who believes, the uncircumcised and circumcised. In Romans, Paul writes about this moment or this reality of Abraham's circumcision and what it means. And he approaches it with a great embrace of the uncircumcised Gentiles who by faith are joining in with the Jewish people. And he says in the book of Romans, Abraham received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. And in this way, he's the father of all who believe but have not been circumcised. In other words, the Gentiles he's writing to, in order that righteousness might be credited to them. And Paul continues, he's also the father of the circumcised, the Jews, who not only are circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. So Abraham, by having been uncircumcised and now being circumcised, is the father of faith for everyone who trusts God, whether you're circumcised or not circumcised. So through this event that the Torah pays close attention to, God is opening his arms wide, not just to Abraham, but to the whole world. And he is doing something in Abraham that is going to enable Abraham to be not just a father to the Jews, but father to, as the scripture says, many goyim as well. But at this moment in chapter 18, it's Abraham the Jew, if you will. Now he's circumcised. Now he's taken on the mark of the covenant. He not only circumcised his son and his servants, but he himself was circumcised. And there's a principle that we fathers can learn from this. We're to be examples to our sons. It's not enough to say the right things or even to teach them only with words. We want to be good examples. And the best way to impart faith to another generation is to live by faith. If you and I are committed to living by faith, we will have an effect on the next generation. Abraham not only had the idea of faith right, but he lived by faith. Well, God shows Abraham his fatherly face, and it's a way of developing Abraham's fatherliness. We're going to take just a few minutes. We'll go into more of that tomorrow when we have more time. But in Genesis 18, verse 19, the Lord speaks out loud about Abraham, and he says, I've known him to the end that he would command or charge his children and his household after him so that they would keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, to the end that Hashem may bring upon Abraham all that which he has spoken of him. You see, God had intimacy with Abraham so that the things that God wanted to do through Abraham could be done. There are things that God wants to do through you that can be done as you have intimacy with God. Without that intimacy, things will stall or stagnate or go awry. But with that close relationship with God, it's possible for God to fine-tune things in you and to develop character in you that couldn't be developed any other way. But you'll notice also that that intimacy was to empower Abraham so that he would charge or command his children. He would be an example to them and bring them up in the way of the Lord. Not just the things of the Lord. Not just knowledge about God, but the way of the Lord. It brings me to a moment much later in time when King David was in agony. And he felt like he had waited long enough for an answer from God. He felt like God had forsaken him. Can any of you recall a time in your life where you prayed and prayed and you didn't get an answer and you thought, what's wrong? You know, why have you turned away from me, God? And Psalm 22 gives voice to that. And then David remembers the example of his forefathers and he says, in you our fathers put their trust. They trusted and you rescued and delivered them. They cried to you and they were saved. In you they trusted and they were not disappointed. Now those fathers included Abraham, who cried to God, who struggled with God, who wondered when. Maybe that's your prayer right now. When, Lord, when? Maybe you've had it in your heart thinking, it's already past due. It's already too long. I've waited too long. And when we get to that place that we're thinking like that and we're praying like that and we are wondering now, has God just turned away? That's when we can remember even Abraham didn't give in to that temptation. He waited a long time beyond physical reason, beyond human reason. He waited a long time and he trusted. And he wasn't disappointed. Some of you right now are being overrun by feelings of disappointment. And I want to tell you something. That God knows how to complete your faith and your faithfulness. He knows how to strengthen you. He knows how to fulfill the desires of your heart in the right way and in the right time. It's not going to be on your timetable. That's the bad news. The good news is it'll be on his timetable. And the beauty of his plans will be revealed to you. Everything is beautiful in its own time. Tomorrow we'll look at that difficult moment when God asks Abraham to bring his son to the altar, to go up to a mountain and present him to the Lord. Tonight we don't have time for that. Come back tomorrow or listen on podcast and you can hear that. But let me just close with a reminder to us that Abraham waited. He may not have waited perfectly, but his hope didn't waver. And his faith didn't waver. And he persevered. And in that perseverance, God came at just the right time. Exactly after the moment when Abraham made covenant and took on the sign of the covenant. Exactly at that moment, God showed up with news. Your son is coming. Your covenant son is coming. He'll be here at just the right time. And the baby came, just as promised. That's why David, looking back at Abraham and the others, could say, and they were not disappointed. If you feel like disappointment's just had too much power over your heart or over your mind, let me just pray for you right now. Because as we heard the testimony of Joseph and Grace today, and as we remember the testimony of Abraham, God will not disappoint. Lord, I lift up to you everyone who is under the weight of disappointment, who is tempted to give up hope, who wonders, have you forsaken them and have others forsaken them? And I pray you would lift their hearts up. Lift off that heavy burden. And as they remember their forefathers who walked by faith, who trusted you, who cried out to you and saw you answer them, and who were able to say, Lord, that you fulfilled every good word you had spoken. Let it be that disappointment lifts off of every heart now in Yeshua's name. I pray for softening of our hearts towards you, that we would persevere until the answer comes and we see with our eyes your goodness in the land of the living. In Yeshua's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Join together with family, with friends. Look at all these guys. Wow. Wow. Jacob has grown another head. He's a two-headed young man. And all these good guys with him. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai panavelecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace, his shalom. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom.
Thank you for standing with us.